Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. You've seen Joel published in Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, and The Hartford Business Journal. He hosts Better Money every weekend on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundland, and you've seen him as an analyst on Fox Business. He's the author of six books, including most famously The Money Map, and here to share his wisdom with us today. Joel, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing good. I feel like I am in the middle of a whirlwind, a hurricane here. Earlier last month, my son got commissioned as a lieutenant in the Marine Corps. This was a day after he graduated University of Colorado. He just got married now at the end of the month to a wonderful girl named Alyssa, and they're off on their honeymoon in Greece. In 3 weeks, I have my youngest graduating from high school, and in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I am traveling out of 3 weeks, probably 16, 17 days out of that three-week period. As you know, John, I teach other financial advisors around the country how to run better businesses, how to serve their customers better, investment planning, things like that. And so it's just a really busy time for me. I'm hanging in there. I think after the next 3 weeks, things will slow down a little bit. But, you know, I love it. I love running at that pace. I feel very productive. I feel like I want to do it as much as I can now while I'm young. Wendy and I become empty nesters at the end of or at the beginning of next year when my youngest goes off to college. And so it's a new chapter in our lives and just a lot of things going on. So that's how I'm doing. How are you doing today, John?
Doing great. I saw the picture you put on Facebook from the wedding, from Michael's wedding, with your four boys, all of them. They don't look exactly like each other, and yet they all four look exactly like you. It's always jarring to see all these tiny Joels running around. So
well, they all have that Norwegian sort of round faced look.
Yep.
Except for, you know, a couple of them are so cut and in great shape. They have a little more of a jawline, but the typical Norwegian Scandinavian, a little more of a round faced look.
I sometimes wonder, did Wendy contribute anything to the gene pool here? It's almost like it's all Johnson genes making up of those boys. Well, today we're talking about customization, the importance of customization in your retirement plan. And I think everybody, Joel, would understand that a customized retirement plan is a lot better than just a one-size-fits-all approach, something taken off the shelf and, you know, you have the same thing that your neighbor has. And yet, even though most people realize that, it seems that most people don't have a plan that's truly been customized to them. So let's talk about some of the things that really need to be considered if you're going to truly build a customized plan for yourself. One of those things is, and again, it seems simple, but when are you going to retire? At what age are you walking away from that paycheck? That has to be taken into account.
Well, it's got to be taken into account, and this is one of the problems with some of the online programs. You know, you just go in and you punch in your retirement age, but there's never been a conversation with a financial advisor that has wisdom about whether you can actually do that. What if you played with that retirement age a little bit one way or the other? It's critical. And then many times, that planned retirement age, if we're dealing with a married couple, the opinion is different on that. And it's sometimes it's not just a financial opinion. Sometimes it's opinion of, oh, I don't know if I'll be ready to retire, even though I can in 2 years, because I don't know what I'll do with my time. And there's just all these different elements. And so it is important that not only a plan is customized around solid facts, like what age do you plan to retire, but also around the emotions that circle around those facts.
Certainly, you want to be sure that that is taken into account, your planned retirement age. What about lifestyle and income needs, Joel? We have so many people who say, well, you know, I hear you need $1 million to retire. Well, maybe not if you spend $4,000 a month. Maybe the guy who spends $8,000 a month might need that million.
Well, and that's why it's so important that a good retirement income plan or an income analysis is part of your overall financial plan. That income analysis that we run for folks, it shows how much income that they want, what will they need. It goes year by year, so it goes out on an annual basis and says, well, you know, in the early years, you might need more money. In the later years of your retirement, you might need less money. So it's critical that that income analysis is part of your overall plan. And again, a financial advisor who's an expert in retirement is going to have a better feel for what happens in the future. You might come to us when you're 1 or 2 years into retirement or 3 years out of retirement, but we're going to have thousands of clients that we've watched walk through retirement for 15 or 20 years, and we know some of the things that will come up in your life that a computer program is not going to tell you.
What about risk tolerance, Joel? I think we hear people talk about risk tolerance a lot. How should that fit into a customized retirement plan?
Well, the importance of risk tolerance is to gauge how you are going to react when the markets go way up, and people sometimes feel like they're missing out, and so they buy at the high, or when the markets go way down, and you're fearful of maybe not being able to have the income you want through retirement and you sell. So a lot of people are buying high and selling low, the exact opposite of what you are supposed to be doing. So the reason risk tolerance is so important is it's not some academic term of, well, can you stand losing, you know, 15% of your money? And somebody says, well, yeah, I know the market's always going to come back. It measures the amount of risk that you might be comfortable with from an emotional standpoint. And again, especially if you're a married couple, one spouse may feel different than others because risk tolerance needs to be factored into a financial plan. The idea in retirement is to smooth out your rates of return so risk tolerance doesn't become a factor in your behavior. Because we all know the most important aspect of being a successful investor is how are you going to behave when the markets get bad or when their markets are really good. Risk tolerance measurements tell us that. So again, just to back up for a minute, we've talked about customization of retirement planning or a financial plan, planned retirement age, your lifestyle, income and needs, and then your risk tolerance all are the foundation. We're going to go through a few more here, but those are the foundations of building a strong financial plan. You all ought to have those pieces into your financial plan, not just some bland investment plan where you're talking to a broker about what stocks you should own and so on. It's a financial plan, and the investments serve those goals long term. And by the way, most people are taking more risk than they think they are. I saw two couples last week. They were taking much more risk than they thought they were because the markets have been so good lately and they haven't done the analysis. They're going to get hurt if they don't make some changes when these markets turn.
Yeah, a lot of people don't perceive that risk until they actually see the big losses. That doesn't mean the risk isn't there. It just means you haven't experienced the loss yet. Joel, I'm curious to know, and by the way, we're talking about customization in your financial plan, being sure you have a plan that's truly customized to you. I'm curious to hear your perspective, Joel, on family longevity and health history, because I think a lot of people say, well, you know, a lot of people in my family have died in their 60s, or maybe it's the other way. Everybody in my family lives until their 90s. I mean, that's no guarantee of how long you're going to live. So how do you factor that into a plan?
Well, I think, first of all, there's no guarantee of you know, just because my parents or my grandparents died at a certain age that I'm going to die at that age. Most of the time, you've got to put on at least 5 to 7 years just because of advances in health. So if my grandpa died at age 80, I better count on living to at least 87 or 90 because the advances of health have been that great in the last 50 years since he passed away. Or he didn't pass away 50 years ago, but by the time I get to that age, it'll be 50 years since he passed away. So very, very important that we don't count on dying too soon, because that's how we could possibly run out of money. You know, my mom and dad, my mom is 84 and my dad is 82. I think my grandfather on my dad's side only lived to be 77 or 78. So already my dad is 4 years past the age that his father died at. And my dad's doing great, strong as can be, sharp in the mind. And so it's important to think about family longevity, but also to add years to that guess that you're making based on family longevity, because chances are your health is a little bit better than your ancestors' health. In addition to that, health history should be a factor. Are you going to be able to get around on your own? Are you going to be sharp enough to deal with your own money decisions? Better to find these out, or at least think these things out, when you're 55, 60, 65, than it is to have to scramble and come up with a plan at age 80 when you might not be quite as sharp as you were before.
And then the last thing we want to think about on this customized financial plan conversation is your feelings and your emotions connected to money. And I think a lot of people say, well, isn't the financial advisor's job to not have emotions connected to money? Isn't it just about math? But we have to factor those emotions into the plan.
Well, correct, because most of our decisions in life are made on feelings and emotions. If you don't believe me, you guys, go tell your wives tonight that you did a full analysis before marrying them and there were no feelings and emotions involved. That conversation is not going to go over too well, and chances are it's not accurate. Well, when it comes to our money, many of our decisions are made on feelings and emotions. We don't like to admit that. The smarter we are, the more we like to say, well, we did a full analysis. We decided we had the budget when we bought that house. We had the money in the budget and so on. But many, many decisions are based on feelings and emotions. Why is this important? It's important because if you don't factor in your feelings, emotions, and maybe things that go way back to your childhood when it comes to money, you're not going to be able to predict your behavior, again, in times of stress or when times are really good, whether it's times in your finances or times in the markets or interest rates that aren't cooperating. All of these things we've discussed, it just shows that you need a customized financial plan. You need a plan that takes into account your risk tolerance, when you're going to retire. If you're already retired, how long do you think you'll live? Can we get your money to last well into your 90s? Any kind of a desire for a financial legacy that you might have. What are your needs today based on future needs? If you're not retired yet, what is your planned retirement age? A good financial plan should factor in all these things, and then the investment design serves that plan. It's not that the investments come first. The investments should be designed and allocated to serve that financial plan, and that's why it's so important. And by the way, if you make mistakes in this area, sometimes there is not enough time to recover. If you're getting close to retirement and you make mistakes, you might not have the time before you stop working to recover. If you're well into retirement and you have dreams of leaving money to kids and grandkids, again, you might not have the time and you might have tremendous regrets, sadness that comes about by you not being able to reach your goals just because you didn't have the proper financial plan. Don't experience that pain. Make sure you have the financial plan. After all, you've saved for retirement. You've made sacrifices along the way. You've raised your children if you have children. And now is your time. Again, whether you're already retired or getting close to retirement, you need a good, strong financial plan. We call ours the Money Map Retirement Plan. And it consists of three things. Number one, a stress test on your portfolio to make sure, as we mentioned earlier, that you're not taking more risk than you should, like most people are taking more risk than they should. That's a bad thing. You want to take as little risk as possible to drive the right rate of return. So we'll do that for you. Secondly, we'll do that income analysis that we mentioned already to make sure that you've got enough money to meet all your goals. And then it tells us what rate of return we need to get on your money to help you meet all your goals. And then last but not least, putting that on our money map, on that one-page plan that takes into account your goals. It customizes that plan based on your needs and then ties it all together with the proper investment plan and the organization to keep things simple. I've said this earlier. It's the three things we focus on: preservation of principal, reasonable rate of return, and keeping things simple. All of that should come out of that Money Map retirement plan. So call now. We've got time on our calendars for the next 12 callers. Again, for the next 12 callers, call, schedule your Money Map retirement review. It's absolutely free. There's no charge, but it's got a ton of value behind it. You'll leave happy that you came in. No obligation to become a client. I promise you that. 1-800-705-1232. Call now, 1-800-705-1232. Get your customized plan. If you have at least $250,000 saved for retirement, we'll do this for you. Absolutely no obligation. We've got time for another 12 callers on our calendar. Again, that's another 12 callers. Call 1-800-705-1232.
Call or text, whichever you prefer. If you text, be sure to include your first and last name. That's 800-705-1232. 800-705-1232. When you come in for your visit, you'll also get a copy of one of Joel's books, The Money Map, probably being the most popular of those. Again, 800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. 1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom. Jill Johnson is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We're talking now about getting older and wiser. There's an old saying, an old adage that says age is the price of wisdom. So let's talk about how maybe that applies to the financial world, Jill. And I'm sure you've probably seen this with your parents. As they've gotten older, they've gotten wiser, and you know they've always been older than you, so they've always been wiser than you because they've always had that head start on you age-wise. But I'm sure you've seen their wisdom evolve with age, too.
You know, as I mentioned earlier, my son got married, and so my mom and dad were out for the wedding, and I was talking to my mom. I can't remember how I got into this fascinating conversation with her, and then I just started asking her, well, what was it like when you were growing up? She was born in 1934. Dad was born in 36, so mom was born in 34. Her father, my grandpa Pete, was an immigrant that came over here on a boat from Norway, made his way up to Minneapolis after he had come through Ellis Island. His sponsor family was from Minneapolis. And so right smack dab in the middle of the Depression, he married my grandma, Hulda, who came off of a farm in Colfax, Wisconsin, and they had four kids. My mom was the second of those four kids. And I started asking my mom, what was it like growing up, you know, on the tail end of the Depression before the war started? She was little. She remembered walking to school with cardboard put in the soles of her shoes because the shoes had holes in the soles, but they couldn't afford new shoes, so they put cardboard in to keep the rain and the moisture from getting in. She said her dad, my grandpa Pete, used to buy a new house about every 2 years because he learned how to do carpentry. And so they'd buy a house that was a little run down. He would fix it up for 2 years and then sell it, make a profit, bank that profit, and do it all over again, over and over again, because everybody was doing everything they could to make money, to be able to pay the bills. So I will never have that perspective. As much as my mom and dad were definitely on the lower income scale into their late 20s and early 30s, I will never have that perspective. So that kind of wisdom, you know, I love hearing stories like that because I can glean from somebody telling me a story like that, but I will never go through that. Now, we see this with our clients. Our clients change their perspective as they get older, and they change the ideas of what money and wealth mean to them as they get older. When you're young and you're trying to accumulate money, many times money sort of becomes a scorecard, and you're buying a bigger house, and maybe you get to drive nicer cars, which are great. Those are the rewards of hard work and prosperity. But many times in the early years of us growing, it certainly was with me when I was in my 30s, I just wanted to make enough money to provide for my family, and so I was working really, really hard. Well, now, when I'm on the tail end of that phase in my life, the kids are moving out, I'm 56 years old now, I look at money as a way to build relationships, as a way to travel, as a way to think about my legacy. What do Wendy and I want to communicate when we leave money behind and we're no longer here? So wisdom really changes perspective on money. And I know, you know, my mom's experiences growing up has really changed her perspective on money.
Do you ever hear anything from your clients or maybe from your parents, Jill, where you hear, maybe I wish I'd known this earlier, or I wish I'd done this differently with my money when I was younger?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example from my life. And I was saying this to one of the, again, I mentioned earlier, I train financial advisors from all over the country. And last year I started saying this and it really woke people up. And so I'll tell you what that is, you know, back in my 30s, I was so worried about not being able to provide for my family that I just worked a lot. People said, well, you're a workaholic. Well, I don't think it was workaholism. I think it was just being afraid that, you know, I was a man with four kids. Could I provide for my wife and my four kids? One of the goals was Wendy could stay home working around the house and raising the kids. And I wanted to make enough money for her to be able to do that, and not to only have to work if she wants to work. And I was just plain scared. And so I worked really, really hard. Well, now we've been very financially prosperous. And I look back and I think, man, did I miss some things? And the answer is probably yes. And there's a little sadness there. So there's absolutely things that I wish that I would have known. I wish I would have known how good and how prosperous our lives were going to be back then when I was just working so hard. And it was just completely out of fear that I wouldn't be able to provide for my family.
We talked about risk earlier in the show, Joel. Do you find people changing their opinion about risk with their money as they get older?
Well, no question about it. And this is a big misnomer for a lot of the country, and I assume a lot of the world, but certainly a lot of people in the U.S., because I talk all over the country to people about money, people that are poor, people that are wealthy. And the misconception is the more money someone has, the more comfortable they are at risk, or the more money someone has, the more risk they take. It's actually, as a general rule, obviously there's, you know, anomalies here, but as a general rule, the more money someone has, the less risky they become, the more conservative they become with their money, the more they want to protect their principal, the more their risks are very calculated. I mean, you even hear this out of the hedge fund industry, people that, you know, have 500, a billion, $2 billion of their own money, they many times won't make an investment if they don't know exactly what the downside is going to be and if they're not hedged on the downside with some other type of an asset. So people definitely change their opinion about risk as they get older, and there are a lot of misconceptions out there when it comes to risk. So we've been talking about the subject age and wisdom and the fact that we get wisdom by aging. Very hard to tell my kids about some of these things when they're, you know, 18, 20, 22, and 27, although my 27-year-old who lives over in Brighton is learning these things. But it's very, very important that we're aware of the way risk changes, the way that our opinion about financial issues changes as we get older, the importance of, you know, recognizing those things that we would have done differently so that we can anticipate the fact that, if nothing else, things may change and our opinion may change going forward.
It makes sense when you talk about people being less tolerant of risk after they've built up a big nest egg. Think about that in terms of musicians, right? So when they start out, they're edgy, counterculture. And then what do we hear? Once people make a big name for themselves, oh, well, they're too corporate. They don't take risks anymore. They're not edgy like they used to be. It's exactly the same philosophy, right? They've made their fortune, and now they just don't want to lose their standing.
Yeah, correct. And I think about some of my favorite bands, their first album they put out. Now, there's how about that, dating myself. My kids don't even know what an album is. But the first album they put out was the one I liked the best because it was edgy. It was a little unpolished. You know, here you probably have somebody, a band where the artists are 18 to 22 years old. And many times I like those, not with every band, but many times I like those earlier records. And of course, it's the same thing when we talk about aging. We get a little more refined. We get more conservative when it comes to our money, especially if we've done a good job saving. Now, this is opposite, by the way. Some people think they need to take a lot more risk because they're behind. So in their 40s and 50s, they say, well, I'm going to take more risk because I got to catch up. Wrong. You don't want to do that. Please do not do that. But again, as we were mentioning, John, the more money someone gets, the more they talk about getting more conservative, preserving their principal.
Let's give you the opportunity right now to take advantage of our Money Map Retirement Review. One of the components of the Money Map Retirement Review is an analysis of how you're investing, and we can run your investment plan, your investments, your portfolio, your 401k, your IRAs, through what we call a stress test and show you exactly how it will perform in times of stress, like 01 and 02. And the stress test is only one part of the Money Map Retirement Review that we'll give to you absolutely free. Again, it consists of number one, the stress test on your portfolio, an analysis on how you're investing, and an opinion that we will give you on what might be a better way to invest. The second thing that we give you as part of the Money Map is a retirement income plan. Wouldn't it be nice to know if you're going to be okay to be able to support the lifestyle you want for as long as you live in retirement? We can do that with the retirement income plan and also tell you what rate of return you need consistently on average so that you can support your goals. And then the third thing people love about the Money Map Retirement Review that you get is this one-page financial plan. It's like a diagram. It looks kind of like a map. That's why we call it the Money Map. And it shows you where all your assets are, not just your investments, but your home, your insurance policies. We list out the things that you tell us are important to you. We give you strategies on how to align what you have with the goals of what you say is important to you. That's all part of the Money Map. Again, for the next 14 callers that call right now at 1-800-705-1232. That's 1-800-705-1232. 705-1232. Call that number. We will schedule a time for you to get your personalized Money Map retirement review. Call now, 1-800-705-1232.
800-705-1232. You can call or text. If you text, just be sure to include your first and last name. Again, 800-705-1232. When you come in for your Money Map retirement review, you'll leave with a copy of one of Joel's books. You pick from the library whichever one you think is best for you. 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. That's all we have time for on this week's edition of Money Wisdom, but we'll talk with you next week right here. Same time, same place. Have a great week.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents in all appropriate jurisdictions.